on May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is round three recap for WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. And here to help me break it all down, it's Kyle Porter. What up, KP?
Well, it's a tough day. We got to follow up Dakota's performance on the CBS broadcast. If people watched, I can't live up to that. I don't know what to do.
I'm assuming he's putting people out of jobs.
Like, he should be.
He should be.
Like us.
Yeah, let's get this kid on the show. Unbelievable. He said he would. There was a tight lie. I forget who it was. Maybe Brendan Todd, tight lie somewhere.
It was Todd, yeah.
He said he'd nip a 60 right of the flag, let it trickle down to the cup.
It was unbelievable. I mean, the way he was talking about golf, I was like, yeah, this is great. This is how I talk about golf. Like, and so but like good. The crazy part is yes, he was using the language, but he was also hitting all these beats.
Yeah,
and you're like, what? Wait a second. Like, has he done this before? Like, what? That's a very difficult thing to do, and he was nailing it.
It's like he had a producer in his ear. Like, it was unbelievable. He was so good. He was so good.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was fun to watch. Good for him. Good job, Dakota.
Good job, Dakota. Good job, Brendan Todd. You've got another 54-hole lead. The fourth time this season he has slept on the lead or the co-lead, fifth time in his career. We've talked a lot about Brendan Todd, what this victory could mean. But he's got, like I don't know how to feel right now, right? I mean, we've seen him sleep on a 54-hole lead before. Travelers didn't go so well. He's one shot clear of Benny on. He's two shots clear of Ricky Fowler. What's, like, our temperature check on Todd at the moment?
Well, the temperature check is that he's not going to win tomorrow. I like Brendan Todd. I think his story is awesome, and I think he's a good player. But the way, and this is like an extreme version of what happened at the Travelers when he kind of faded on Sunday. He's not hitting the ball that well, Rick. He's like, I mean, what's his tee to green numbers? It's not, I'd have to pull it up.
For the week?
Yeah. Do you have it in front of you?
Yeah, he's gained 1.8 from tee to green and 9.3 putting.
That's not good. Like, that's not like that. It's one thing if you are John Rahm and you've done that and you're like, okay, well, I can talk myself into Rahm's just gonna you know come out and light it up on Sunday. But if you're Brendan Todd and you're doing that, it just, I don't know, I don't have a good feeling about Sunday.
Yeah, it started on Thursday where he just drained every single putt, and he hasn't stopped. I mean, maybe if he's got one more day in him, but yeah, this is like one of the most unsustainable things we could be looking at here. I mean, it's a really ugly stat line. It's really ugly.
It could happen. Like, I'm not saying that it absolutely. I just that's my opinion. I don't think he's going to win on Sunday. And I think, but look, I mean, the opportunity for him. We've talked about this all week. You win. You get a WGC. You get it's crazy. Like, we talked about this at the Travelers. It's more true now. You become the PGA Tour Player of the Year front runner with what, PGA, Wyndham, four or five events left?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a ton of wiggle room for somebody else like JT to go out, or Webb to go out and win one. And if you also have that WGC, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And I think that, I don't know, this is where we kind of can get too stat heavy sometimes, I think, of like, Brendan Todd should not be having this success, but he is. Like, he's going out and doing it, right? And so you look at the stats and you're like, oh, well, that doesn't make a ton of sense, but he keeps making putts. His short game's great. He keeps contending. Now, whether he can do it for four rounds and win the tournament is one thing, but it doesn't take away from how well he's playing overall right now.
And I think that's a really good point, because he's the way he plays in general doesn't usually define success on the PGA Tour. There's so many great Brendan Todd stats. Here's one from Justin Ray. So 40 different 3+ win seasons on the PGA Tour since 2000. The average season driving distance rank of those players is 25.1. Only two of them have ranked outside the top 100 in distance that season. Brendan Todd currently ranked 209th. So that is a long way of saying he is doing it in a way that usually does not find success on the PGA Tour, which is he doesn't hit the ball far at all. Like, he's in the bottom like 20 guys on tour.
What do you think about his swing just generally? Like, maybe more so the iron swing, but can you watch his move? What are you thinking?
I have no idea where it's going. Like, every single time he hits it. Like, I'm not sure if it, like, there's guys you're like, oh, that looks good. Or the other one, which is like, oh, I can tell what he was trying to do that. He's trying to swing it in. He's trying to hit a cut. I don't know what Brendan Todd's doing, but I mean, I guess it works.
Yeah. I see your point. I do think, based on how bad he is statistically at times from tee to green, the swing is actually like better. Like, it looks better than it shows up statistically, I guess. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's crazy that we talk about, and some people push back on this, and I think rightfully so. We're talking 5 weeks ago about Bryson DeChambeau breaking golf, right? Like, yep. You want to be as long as possible, as often as possible. And that's the way forward. And that's mostly true. Like, I think that is a right way to think about the future, but it's cool that somebody like Brendan Todd can roll up to a WGC and be like, wait a second, you can also do it this way. And while that still plays, and that it's still true that short guys can do that, I think the fact that we're pointing it out and that it's such a big deal really shines a light on how professional golf has turned toward how long can I be as often as possible, right? And so your Brendan Todd's, it becomes such a cool narrative because it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one sort of takeaway in all of this for me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If he can close it out, it'll be because he fended off some big dogs coming up behind him. And the biggest dog of all, one shot back, Benny on. This guy, I love this guy so much. I mean, he is the epitome of hashtag team no putt. I mean, yeah. He is like the worst putter on the face of the earth. He's a great ball striker, and we're getting that week where he has now gained one stroke per round on the greens. Yeah. And that is plenty when you are as good of a ball striker as Ben On is.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I think Ben On is kind of he's a low key big game hunter.
Ooh.
Right. Like, he wins the USAM. He wins the BMW PGA at Wentworth. That's a big deal. While it would be surprising if he won this week because he hasn't been playing very well, I think if you pull back and look at the bigger picture, it wouldn't be super surprising if at the end of his career, you're like, oh yeah, Ben On won a WGC. Like, he showed up at Memorial a couple years ago. I think he lost to Bryson that year. Was that in 2018? I think it was.
Yeah, I'm looking at Wiki right now.
So... I don't know. Like, I you get to the back nine on Sunday, and it's not like Ben On's going to be scared of Ricky Fowler's ball striking, you know? Like,
no.
Like, Ben On can you know, like, roll with all those guys. JT, Koepka, Fowler, whoever you want to throw up there. Now, the complete game, the total package isn't there with him, but I don't know, nine-hole stretch, you make a couple putts, who knows?
Lost to Bryson in a playoff at the Memorial in 2018. Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's playing with house money. I don't know, obviously, what his mindset is, or when you're looking for your first PGA Tour victory, how I can't even imagine how difficult that could be. But yeah. You're looking at the leaderboard, and you're like, well, I'm not in the lead, so that's kind of cool. I'm only one shot back. And oh, by the way, no one expects me to win this golf tournament because Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Louis Oosthuizen and Phil Mickelson are breathing down our throats. Like, I might as well just go freewheel this thing.
Well, and also, like, he's going to be playing with Todd on Sunday, right? So you watch his ball striking, and you're like, oh, I just got to be better than that. Like, and again, you have to go make putts. The short game has to be there. How about that putt he walked in on 18 on Sunday?
Save par, right?
On Saturday. Yeah, but he walked it in, like, early. It was incredible. I was like, Ben On might be the best putter in the world. This is unbelievable.
The classic, he found something on the greens. It all clicks. Okay, so it always still jars me when I see athletes who were born in the 90s. Was there a guy who, like, I remember when Kevin Durant, like, was coming into the NBA, and I was like, oh my God, this is like the first guy who's younger than me who's like gonna be a superstar. What have I been doing with my life? Like, did you have that moment? Who was your guy?
Yeah, it's a good question. It feels like it was there's guys in the, like, quarterbacks in the NFL that are like 8 years younger than me that feel like they've been in the NFL for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think Matthew Stafford is like 4 or 5 years younger than me.
And he's been around forever.
And he's made like $200 million. I'm like, oh, awesome. Yeah. The one that always gets LeBron and I were in the same LeBron and I we were in the same
there's a lot of things. The Venn diagram of you and LeBron is basically two complete huge circles too.
Yeah, we're both humans. We graduated in the same high school class, and I see guys on TV, and anybody you see on TV you just naturally think is like 10 years older than you.
Yes.
And so whenever I would see LeBron on TV, it's astounding to me that we are the same age. It's just weird. And he looks older and like the whole deal. So LeBron is
LeBron is not even human.
No, he's not. Yeah, he might not be a human. That might be a bad example of like the Venn diagram. So I think LeBron is mine that I always think of when I think about stuff like that.
All right. That's good. Ricky Fowler is two shots back. Ricky Fowler. Oh, I quote that 70 times a day. It's awesome.
I can't do it.
I want to assert that of at least the guys on the leaderboard and maybe Ben On otherwise, like, this win or a potential win for Ricky Fowler here would be so much bigger than a lot of these other guys. Like, Brooks doesn't need to defend this title. Justin Thomas, you told us he's going to win 25 times. Like, Todd's already got two this year. I think what we know about Ricky Fowler, which is that he garners the constant description of overrated, even though I don't believe he is, and he wins more than a lot of the other guys that we throw into that conversation. Yeah, to sure. Add a WGC to the resume would be great, but also, like, this could be the natural conclusion of these swing changes that he's been going through, and it's all about confidence. If he could win it, if he could win with the swing changes right now at a WGC and head into this stretch of golf that is so valuable, like, he might unlock something.
Yes. What do you think about him playing from behind? Like, that's the position, right? Like, I keep going back to the Phoenix Open last year. He's up by 4 going into the final round, maybe 5. I mean, it was a rout, and he maintains the lead, and then he makes the triple on whatever that was, 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that range. And you're like, how big does the lead have to be? You know, and he wins the players from behind, and he wins a lot. It's a little bit like Xander, right? We talk about Xander winning from behind. I don't have all of Ricky's wins in front of me, but I think the majority of them, and this isn't bad, this is just the way they've happened, have been coming from behind. And that's how he almost won the Patrick Reed Masters, the 18 Masters. Remember, he shot like 65, 66 on the weekend, 66, 67, something like that. Burned down the second nine on Sunday, and birdies 18, almost wins the Masters. Like, people just, I don't know. The Fowler thing, people just throw out the stuff they don't want to talk about and focus on the stuff that they do want to talk about, which is fine, whatever. Like, it is what it is. But, I mean, it'd be a great win. 6 wins, including a WGC, a player's, I think he's won at least one, maybe 2 playoff events. That's not winning, right? Like, that's a career. That's a great career. And he's still 31 years old. So I get the major thing. I get it. And I totally am like on board with that. But all the other stuff, definitely counts. Wins the Scottish Open. Like, we don't talk about a lot of the other stuff that actually does count.
I know this goes against the numbers, but I don't mind like the guys who are one or two shots back, especially when they're trying to chase down Brendan Todd and Ben On. Like, I don't think anyone is saying, "Oh man, Brendan Todd smells chum in the water." Like, it's over. It's over. This guy's got it. Like, no one's saying that, I promise you. And Benny On looking for his first victory. Like, I don't mind him being two shots back here. And what we've seen, okay, so this is kind of a couple part thing here. So I know, like, okay, a two shot lead or a three shot lead, how often it converts on the PGA Tour is, I don't know, whatever number it is, 40%, three shot lead. I would like to see what it is based on, like, that guy's official world golf ranking, yeah, or versus like, yeah, that guy's career win total.
Yes.
Because we have already seen in the restart multiple shot leads evaporate immediately, like four holes in on Sunday. So I don't mind Ricky Fowler being that many shots, being two shots off the lead right now.
No, I agree. I do worry a little that he's chipped in three times
and almost one.
Yeah. And so you look at, he's gained, I think I looked at it, it was like four strokes on the field, yeah, around the greens, which is, I think Ricky Fowler's short game's really good, but you're picking up those are kind of vanity. Like, that's not like a real number because you made those shots, that's not going to happen. You know, and maybe that's just like, those are the breaks you get in a week that you win. But that one concerns me a little. He had the back nine on Saturday wasn't great. He had some bad shots. And I thought Nick Faldo called this out on 18. He doesn't trust the draw. Like, he couldn't draw it into 18 there. There was another hole. Might have been 17 actually. Or maybe 16. I don't know, where he wouldn't draw it in. So there are some yellow flags, I think, with Fowler. Do you think it's good or bad that he's with Koepka in the second to last?
I don't think it matters for Ricky Fowler. Okay. Yeah, I don't think so. I just want him to shake this whole, like he's the guy who's just the first one there to congratulate you thing. Like, that's what we know of Ricky Fowler from the last couple of years. I just want him to cash more. I do think, you know, 18 has water work lurking on the left, which is why I'm sure he's uncommitted to that draw, because if he overdraws it a little bit, he's that's where the danger's at, right? That's the badness.
Yeah, that pin was kind of dirty too.
Yeah, it was. I'm interested to see where they have it for Sunday. Brooks Koepka, you do this live. Like, I wasn't writing it. I was not writing his obituary three holes in, but you might have been. He was cooked. He doubled his second hole. He bogeyed, I think, his third. It was over, and then he goes absolutely scorched earth to get back into this thing, and now he's only three shots back.
Yeah, and look, like, if you're looking for some PGA Championship intel,
ooh, I
Koepka,
am.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is this a promo? Is this an ad read?
Are you looking for some PGA Championship intel? Well, you're in luck. Kyle Porter is about to give it to us right now.
Go back to round one. You've got it there. You've got it on your spreadsheet. Go back to round one of the 3M Open and give me Koepka strokes gain, ball striking, or tee to green, either one. Round one, 3M, round two, 3M, and then the first three rounds at St. Jude, because it's been really good. And, you know, I think you talk about him and JT in this field this week, their score is just, it just changes so much based on whether they're putting. But the ball striking's been consistent. It's been really solid for both of those guys. And for Koepka for the last five rounds, really, which is a little bit of the trajectory that I wanted to see going into the PGA. The scores haven't been there, especially at 3M, but the ball striking has been. And I don't know, man, maybe we were wrong. You know, we talked like a week or two ago about how you can't just flip the switch. You know, it's not like he was, you know, when he flips the switch recently, he was top 10-ing at Byron Nelson. He was top 10-ing at Honda. Those were kind of precursors to him winning these majors, and that hasn't happened this year. Well, it's happening right now, and so maybe we were just completely wrong about that.
I'd like to talk about the Switch. Here are the stats. So round one at the 3M, this is ball striking. So this is off the tee plus approach. He gained 4.08. That's insane. Second round, he was awesome off the tee. He gained a little over one in ball striking. Then round one this week, he gained 3.7.
Yeah.
Round two this week, he gained 3.6. Yeah. And round three this week, he gained, this was his worst in the stretch, about a half a stroke. So okay. It's been really
lights out. He's number one in this field in approach shots. You start looking at next week and you're like, wait a second. Like how low did he drop, by the way, in the odds for PGA? Like, what was the lowest that you saw him at? Was he ever at like 16 or something?
Probably. See, the problem is the back-to-back thing, really, that drives so much of his Vegas odds. Yeah, so they'll never let him get down into like to like the 20 range.
Because he was like 28 for this tournament, right? 30?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd have to pull it up. But like there were times in the last couple of weeks and months, you could have gotten a really good number on Brooks at a couple of these events.
Yeah.
And to the point about flipping the switch, the thing is, he flips it in both directions, which is like, it's so inspiring. When he is playing well, he shreds golf courses. It is unbelievable. It is so fun to watch. He has the swag. I love everything about it. But when he's playing poorly, I don't know if I'm like, I feel sad. Like, I feel disappointed because I know what he can do. And he just showed it to us like 5 holes ago, right? Like, I don't know. It's not even round by round sometimes. It's almost like he flips it twice per round.
Yeah, I was making the case on HQ, I think on Friday, about how nobody makes it look more simple. I think guys make it look prettier, easier. DJ and Rory among them, maybe John Rahm, maybe JT, but nobody makes it look simpler in that he just, and maybe it's because of his like physique or the way he's built or the way he holds the club or whatever. He just looks like when he's hitting great shots, he looks in total control. Like, nobody looks more in control than Koepka whenever the ball is going the way that he wants it to go. And so it's like really weird and kind of jarring when he does play so poorly. But a lot of that recently has been the short game, right? And so it still has looked pretty good. Even last week at Twin Cities, the score just hasn't been there. So I don't know. I think he's going to play well at Harding Park next week. I hate saying that because I've been on the Brooks is dead thing, you know? But I don't know how to not say it right now based on the way he's playing.
He's so scary. He's lurking. And also Justin Thomas is lurking. He's the only player currently in the top three of both the FedEx Cup standings, which we know are critically important, and the official World Golf Rankings. And each of the last four winners of this event have entered the week in the top three of both. That is why we're talking about it. But this, you were kind of right here, Kyle. I mean, Justin Thomas was the sleeping giant heading into the weekend, where he made zero putts. Still didn't make all that many on Saturday, but started to roll it in on the back. He came in 31. That's all four. So of his four under round, and he's now only four shots back.
Yeah. And here's the deal. Actually, I'm going to filibuster here because I don't know how quickly you can find this, but if you can find it quickly, can you do like average strokes gained tee to green since the return to golf, all caps? How long would that take you?
I need not 90 seconds.
Okay, I can definitely filibuster for that. Okay. So we've got a real good plan here for those people listening. JT, you know, the bag nine was awesome. I was honestly like, I was following his shot tracker, or the shot link thing for him, like for his entire back nine, because the broadcast lags sometimes. They got like a million guys to show whatever. And I was just praying that I was right about JT going into the weekend, because the stats said, hey, JT is going to be awesome this weekend because he's not going to be the 70th ranked putter in this field. But you never know how that goes. Maybe he has a bad third round. Maybe he wakes up feeling poorly on whatever. It can still go badly. But I was really excited because he's somebody, if you are been on, if you are Brendan Todd and you're looking at the board on Sunday at like the sixth hole and you see JT like bumping up there within one tied, you're like, well, you know what? This is not good, because he closes. Like, that's what he does. That's who he is. And we can talk about the you know, Mark Immelman's not here. We can talk about the overall trajectory here in a second. But yeah, I honestly think JT's two back of the real lead with Fowler at 10 under, because I don't trust Brendan Todd's swing and I don't trust Ben On's putting. And so if you say Fowler's the real lead at 10 under and JT's two back, I don't know. Nine to one's pretty sweet.
Pretty juicy. Okay. Since the return of golf, I've got the strokes gains and numbers here. What would you like to hear?
JT's got to be number one average per round, right?
So the caveat is this does not include this week. So it would only be better than this. So it'd be heading into this week. But JT, of anybody who's played at least 10 rounds, it's Bryson 2.3, which will go down this week, and JT 2.07, which will go up this week, presumably. So
So it's close. Yeah.
Very close. Sense. And he is top tier guy here. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of think he's going to shoot like a 65 and win on Sunday. And that he might not, like, who knows, but that's just sort of, I don't know. That's the sense I've been getting. What? So me and Immelman were hollering at each other on via text. This was, I forget, like, this stuff is not public for people to see. Like, it should be. He was getting on me about my tweet on Friday about how, and this is appropriate because Bones is caddying for JT this week, and they're going to be in the same pairing on Sunday as Phil Mickelson and his brother Tim. Bones obviously caddied for Phil for 20 years. And I said, going from Phil, my point was that going from Phil, who is a lunatic on the course and just does whatever he wants, and I think is like a top 12 guy of all time, to going to JT, who has a plan, who's straightforward, who you know, he's not like crazy on the course, is like going from a prop plane with no landing gear to a finely tuned race car. And of course, everybody freaks out. Phil's got five. I know how many majors Phil has. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, I can count. Wikipedia exists on my internet as well. Like, I know what's going on. But where do you stand on the JT stuff, like career trajectory?
I think that if there was like stock to buy, or if there were, I don't know how you want to frame this, but like, I could not invest any, like, I'd be all in on JT over any other guy. Like, yeah. I think that he has the skill set that not only works in current PGA Tour, you know, events, but I think it also projects well into the future. He is young enough. He wins a lot, which is not something that a lot of guys can say. He can win major championships. The only time we've ever seen him injured was self-inflicted, when he wrapped his club around a tree on like Thursday at Honda a couple of years ago, like a dummy. Like that's the only, and you're right. I think he is very, very mature. And maybe that's from his dad, right? Growing up kind of like with this professional mindset. Like, I think Justin Thomas is one of the most mature golfers that we have on the PGA Tour. And I could not be more thrilled about the trajectory. Now, will he ever get to, like, he'll never touch Phil's whatever, just because the eras are so different, and he'll win a smaller percentage of how much Phil has won. But like, I could not be more thrilled to see what Justin Thomas does in the next 10 or 15 years.
Okay, so this is JT's 152nd PGA Tour event. He's finished in the top five in 23% of them. In Phil's first 150, he finished in the top five in 15% of them. So 23% to 15%.
Yeah.
And then if you look at wins through 150 events, Phil won 11 times, which, again, historically great. To me, that's a awesome. top 12 guy of all time. And Phil's like thing is longevity. Like, the longevity is like, that's what makes him great. It's not that he was necessarily like, I don't know, like, who's somebody that was just great for a really short period of time. Well, even like
we haven't seen the rest of Jason Day yet, but like, 7 wins in 18 months is a very, like, it's the most concentrated thing I can think of.
It's not acute with Phil. The secret to his success is being really, really, really good for 25 years. And that's how you get to 5 majors and 44 wins. So wins through their first 150 events. Phil had 11 and JT has 12. So all I'm saying here, and again, the tweet was actually more of a commentary on their styles than anything. But if you want to talk about their trajectories also, JT's trajectory is ahead of Phil's. I mean, Phil didn't win a major till he was, what, 33, 34. JT's already got one. More wins, more top fives. Now, can he do it for 25 years? Probably not. Because that's insane to be able to do it for that long. But I think more broadly, I think we historically underrate JT. Like, we just do. Like,
I definitely
the numbers say that he is going to be historically one of the best of all time. Now, might not go that way. I mean, Jordan Spieth timestamp is exhibit A, but that's the way it's trending right now.
Well, we've got 25 years to figure this out. I'm sure it's a conversation we will have many times over. Producer Jacob's giving me the look. So what we're going to do is we're going to do our picks to win on the other side. But first, we're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our partners.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
And we're back. KP, you can watch tomorrow's action, Sunday's action, on CBS, cbssports.com, or the CBS Sports mobile app. Do not forget, streaming is faux free on desktop and mobile devices. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time. I believe, Kyle, you have already spoiled your pick to win 9-1. Justin Thomas seems to be the route that you are headed here.
Yeah, JT 9-1, I think is... I mean, he's both my pick to win, but I also think he's the value there. If you go further down, I wish Webb wouldn't have doubled the last.
Yeah.
Webb is 50, but he's, what is he, six back? I don't know. Yeah. Webb at 50 is not bad value.
I mean, is he going to win it more than 2% of the time? Honestly, probably. You're just not going to hit this often. Yeah. I mean, he went on that stretch of holes, 14, 15, 16, he played 4 under. I hate that he doubled 18 because he was, he probably would have been a guy that I could have fired something like this on. I don't know if I'm hoping or if I think that Ricky Fowler is actually going to win the golf tournament. Like I want him to. He's 4-1, which to your point, there's probably more value in Justin Thomas. Honestly, there's probably more value in Brooks Koepka, who's 5-1. There's probably more value in someone deeper, but like I would love to see Ricky Fowler win on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a good chance that he will. Again, if you don't believe in certain parts of Ben On's game, certain parts of Brendan Todd's game, then Fowler is, I mean, I think he's as likely as Koepka or JT or anybody else. I was going to ask you, who was your one and done this week?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember.
Jeff Fleetwood?
It might have been Fleetwood. I was pretty – it was Fleetwood or Reed, I feel like.
So you had Reed.
Yeah, Reed played better. He was like 4 under at one point, and then I think he gave a couple back coming in. Yeah, he shot a 69, so he's in T40.
I had Rahm. Is he still in the tournament? Did he make the cut?
I think he's already at TPC Harding Park.
God. What in – by the way, I don't think we talked about this. John Rahm has lost 6 strokes tee to green this week. That seems bad.
Not good heading into your first major as the number one player in the world.
Bryson shot a 69 with 5 pars on Saturday.
Yeah, that was a two. Spieth. What's that called? A 2 pencil day with
that's
all the
called,
all the
called a Spieth.
All right, we are going to be back tomorrow to wrap up the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational, and anybody can win it. Who knows? Thank you to Kyle Porter for joining me. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me on Twitter at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. Catch you next time.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.